Welcome, everybody, to Health, Wealth, and Divine, also known as Jawanza for Life. Good morning. Good morning. It's a beautiful Sunday morning, wherever you are. Thank you so much for tuning in. It's always, always an honor to have you along. I always say that I don't take for granted that you could be doing something else, which you could be. So by virtue of the fact that you actually tuned in on purpose, nobody made you tune in, you actually wanted to tune in, that's why you're here, your spirit brought you here, I'm thankful and I honor your presence. Thank you so much for being with me this morning. You know, got a special guest on today. He is a regular on Health, Wealth, and Divine, and we've got new hours for him. So we're going to make sure that we let you know exactly which Sunday he's going to be on, but it's going to be Sundays from now on for Dr. Ted Watkins from 8 to 9 a.m. And I can't think of a better way to start off a Sunday morning, because you know you're going to hear some positivity, you know you're going to hear energy, and you know you're going to hear about ways in which you can actually enhance your life, and if you're not careful, save your life. So what a wonderful way to start the day, you know. So I'm really, really excited to have my special guest on. Again, he's a regular on Health, Wealth, and Divine. And for those who are tuning in for the very, very first time and you don't know who Dr. Watkins is, I guarantee you by the end of the show, you will not forget who Dr. Watkins is. So, again, he's a regular. He comes on once a month, and we talk about everything. I mean, you just name it. If it relates to holistic health, we're going to discuss it. And I normally introduce my brother here, but I'm going to ask him to introduce himself today because, you know, I want somebody with this, with such a powerful, powerful work. You want to make sure that you do the introduction justice. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to let Dr. Watkins introduce himself for those who've never heard Dr. Watkins. Dr. Watkins, welcome back to Jawanza for Life. How are you, my brother?
Good morning. Good morning. I'm excited to be with you this morning. introducing myself. I don't know that.
That's okay. You can do it.
I generally ask people to downplay the introduction because it's not about me. But you know, I just thought about it when you said introduction. Who am I? You know, but I'm just a little boy from the projects. You know, I'm originally from Cleveland, Ohio. I grew up in the projects on welfare, you know, as many did. And as many, I grew up without my father in the home, which was a major, major, major emotional factor in my life. Never really knew my dad. You know, he left us when I was very, very young. And so for many years, that was a sort of a noose around my neck. But I had a very strong mother and supporting grandmother, and that made a difference, and several uncles, so one in particular. It was interesting, probably the uncle that impacted me the most was an alcoholic. But he was my favorite uncle because he was a loving person, and I was attracted to him. But at the age of 5 years, I in those projects, or even before the projects, I decided that I wanted to be a doctor. You know, the projects was upward mobility for us. And just before that, we lived in these war houses, you know. But I decided I wanted to be a doctor, and I sort of designed a path, and that included going to a certain high school, winning a scholarship, athletic scholarship, and going to college, which was the path that most of my friends went. However, my mother had a different plan. She told me that I was not, at one point, when I thought I was getting ready to go to that high school, she said, you know, not another one of my sons are going to that high school. Because my brother had gone, and he had, his grades had dropped, he had stopped going to church, he had, you know, started running the streets. And so I ended up going down to a little school in Huntsville, Alabama, Oakwood High School, which is attached to Oakwood College. I later went back and went to that college and graduated with chemistry and biology. Was drafted, went to the Army for 2 years, which I thought was a total terrible thing, but it just shows how God can lead, because by going to the Army, that gave me the means. When I got out of the Army, I worked at NIH for a year after moving to Washington, D.C., where my oldest brother was. I worked at NIH for a year, applied to medical school, went to Howard University College of Medicine, graduated from there, did a 5-year residency in surgery. So why am I talking about holistic medicine? About my third year in surgery, my surgical residency, a tragic event occurred in that there was a group of us who were going to go down south and do this self-supporting ministry in medicine. And my two colleagues, for various reasons, decided they couldn't go. And so there I was in an area that I really didn't want to go in. I really wanted to do cardiology, but I went into surgery for the group. And so I'm here, and I prayed and asked God, what am I supposed to do? I mean, this is ridiculous. This is terrible. And he told me to leave right. surgery and go into holistic medicine. And I said, no, you don't understand. I'm good with this knife, you know.
Right.
But I was a very, very aggressive person. I mean, I had done so much in a very short period of time in surgery. And so I was, you know, on the roll, and just knew that I was going to be this big time surgeon, but God had a different plan. And about 1982-83, I officially left surgery and started a practice with another physician who also had a surgical background, but who had been practicing holistic medicine for a number of years, and he became my mentor. Some may know him, Dr. Warren Harrison. He died a few years ago. But I worked for him for about a year before I sort of set out on my own and started a practice. And the rest sort of is history. I got into radio sort of by accident. I was called and asked to, I was asked to do a show first on WYCB, I think it was, and with Calvin Rolark. Some may remember Dr. Calvin Rolark, and he started United Black Fund, and I became his radio doctor, and he became my mentor and friend. And for a number of years, I was with him. And then I was asked to do a show on WPFW for someone who was scheduled to go but couldn't make it. And when I did that show, I met a guy by the name of Tom Porter. And Tom interviewed me, and he was very excited about me. And he said, you know, we need to do this again. And I said, oh, yeah, we have to do this. Later he became the station manager and called me up and said, whatever you want to do is yours. Mm-hmm. And I went on there and stayed for about 7-8 years, left about the same period of time, and now I'm back on the station. So you got my history, man.
That's why I wanted you to give it, my brother. I mean, because you actually, you know, laid it out, and you know, a couple of things stood out to me during that. With what you just shared, the first is that you stated that at a young age, you made a decision. You decided that you wanted to be a doctor. Now that's interesting, because in spite of the humble beginnings, you felt within yourself that this is what I want to be. You could have easily seen the other people. I mean, I know Cleveland, you know, I know Euclid Street and all that, right? I know Cleveland. Yoga Community College, all that. I had people up there.
I wasn't on Euclid, man. I was on Scoville, man. Man, Quincy, Scoville, man. That was the pits. But you know, the fact is that the church played a big part in that for me. You know, I was then and still am a Seventh-day Adventist, and we stress health and education in our church. And I would hear these mission stories of people going to Africa and making a difference in the world, physicians and teachers and so forth. And I just got the vision that that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to go to Africa and be a missionary. Matter of fact, it's very interesting because when I was in college, I was in love, man, and I shared this idea with this young lady, and she laughed, and that was essentially the end of that relationship, because I
wow.
wanted to be a missionary. But at some point, God, I believe, said to me that you haven't done anything here, you can't be going over there. Haven't done anything. So I that's when I really decided that I wanted to try to make a difference here and then go.
Right.
And subsequent I have been. But, you know, that's what stimulated me was that early exposure to people making a difference in medicine. So I never went to medicine to make money. I went to medicine to serve.
Mm. You know, doctor, you know, another one of the things that you mentioned earlier that kind of stuck with me as well was that how you had plans on being a surgeon. You had already embarked upon that career, and you were good at it. And then here you get a word from God to say, no, I don't want you to do that. You know, I want you to do something else. You know, I think it's very interesting how we start off, we talk about plans for a moment, how somebody mentioned to me one time, you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans, you know. So,
you know and yet God wants us to plan, but he wants us to plan with him, you know. And so I tell my patients, you know, I have the four P's. What is your passion? What is God's purpose? What is his plan for your passion and purpose, and then production of that plan? You know, we have to ask God to direct us. I was driving to New York to actually to preach and do a seminar, and there's a church I was working with up in Harlem for a number of years, and I was writing my sermon as I was driving. I try never to get up to speak without God telling me what to say. You know, I don't believe that we should use human wisdom. I think we should always be directed by him. And so in the course of me driving and writing, the thought hit me, why do I have to do what you want me to do, Lord? Why can't I do what I want to do? And the answer came back. See, God knows that I'm not trying to question him, but I want to understand, you know. And he said, because you don't know what you want to do. So I tell you what you would do if you could see clearly. And that was such a revelation to me, you know. And then the text came to my mind over 1 Corinthians. It says, and we see through a glass darkly. You know, and when you unpack that, it talks about when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. You know, as immature individuals, we need the guidance of God. And so, you know, hopefully I will always ask him to direct my path, you know, because if I do that, I know that I'm going to be on the right path. Even though it may not be the path I want, it's going to be the right path.
Mm-hmm. You know what? And ultimately, I think that because if you're on the right path, then you know, the right things are going to happen to you. If you're on the right path, you know, God will send the right people, you know, to help to have, you know, to enhance what it is that he's, you know, calling you to do. And, you know, I thank God that you listened, you know, because
well,
there are a lot of times.
I specifically asked him, you know, with what I'm doing now, I when he told me what he wanted me to do, I said, that's too big, I can't do that. He said, you can't, but I can through you. I said, well, then you have to give me the money,
right,
and you have to give me the people, you know,
right,
because, you know, I'm not wise enough to choose. All this that glitters is not gold, but all that stink ain't crap, you know. So
well,
you have to show me who I need to work with. And so God, I ask him to bring people in my life and keep other people away from me so that I can stay on the path. But that's not what we're talking about today. But at any rate, that's a little bit about me.
Well, I think it lays a good foundation, and it helps our listeners to understand who they're listening to. You know, I think that's very, very important, because when, especially talking about health, you know, we know. See, when they go to their doctor, when they go to their allopathic doctor, not knocking anybody, but I'm just saying, when they go to the allopathic doctor, they don't get this background on the doctor. The doctor doesn't sit down and tell them about themselves, right? They look at the plaque on the wall and say, we'll point to the plaque on the wall and say, that's all you need to know. I graduated from such and such. But beyond that, in many cases, they don't know as much about the doctor as they know about you now.
Yeah,
so now
you
know, everybody, why you're listening to Dr. Watkins, okay? And so today we're going to be talking about exercise and longevity, what you need to know. Exercise and longevity, what you need to know. I think that for a lot of people, doctor, that are on the holistic health path, we focus a lot on our diet, which is important, which we should focus a lot on. And I think that in many cases, lost in that, because I know that you are a holistic doctor. You're not just looking at health, optimal wellness just from the diet, but you're looking at it from all aspects of your life and different ways in which you can enhance your life. But I think for a lot of people on the holistic health path, just to have changed their diet from eating meat to now a plant-based diet is such a big thing that I think lost in that is the exercise piece.
I was lost in that. I mean, when I went into holistic medicine, I thought diet was the thing. And I never forget, I saw a video which said that a person who smoked and exercised would outlive a person who didn't smoke but didn't exercise.
Wow.
It blew me away, you know. And I started realizing that in terms of longevity, exercise is actually more important than diet. You know, as important as diet is, and you know, I stress diet, as important as diet is, exercise is more important than diet. And just for completeness sake, I believe that stress reduction is more important than exercise.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
So we have to look at stress, at exercise, at nutrition, and then other things, you know. That impact us. So that's how I approach it. So yes, exercise is extremely important, and it's one of the most important things that we can do to prevent and reverse disease. You know, without exercise, we have an increased risk of a wide assortment of chronic diseases, things like heart disease. Diabetes, high blood pressure, obesity, hip fractures, you know, all of this are higher in people who don't exercise. And all of these things, except for hip fractures, can be, and even hip fractures, once they heal, can be improved with exercise. Mm-hmm. Walking increases bone density. You know, I remember looking at a study where they you know, we talk about drinking milk to increase bone density. Number one, that's a big lie, because milk decreases bone density, doesn't increase it. because it causes what we call a negative nitrogen balance. You actually lose bone when you drink milk. But that's not our topic for the day. But what we know is that they looked at people who just did walking, all right? They call it weight-bearing exercise, walking, mm-hmm. jogging. And they found that there was an increase in bone density, not changing the diet, just by increasing the walking, the bone, mm-hmm. density increased. And this is so because what happens when you start putting that stress on the body says, hey, I need you bones are too weak. I need to strengthen you. And mm-hmm. so the body reabsorbs from what you're already taking extra calcium and deposits that calcium into the bone. And so the bone is strengthened by exercise. You know, but all these other things are also that we talked about. You know, diabetes is one of the best things that you can do to lose weight is exercise.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in addition, of course, to the diet and stress reduction, all of those impact obesity. But exercise is one of the most important things. There was a group of folk at Duke. They used to do a diet called the Rice Diet. It's ridiculous, man. They you go down there. And they would feed you rice and some vegetables and walk you and charge you $5,000 a week, man. And people would pay
it. Rice,
rice, vegetables, and exercise. Now, they would do yoga and do other educational classes, but that was the basics, all right? And they would and people would walk. They would have them walking. You know, an hour or two a day. And when they plateaued, what would they do? They would double the exercise.
mm-hmm.
And the weight would come off, you know?
Right.
Because exercise helps to reset the brain so that it starts, you know, your metabolism starts bringing the weight down, you know? And so exercise is critically important for that thing. So that's why it's so important for us to, on a regular basis, get out and exercise.
You know, Doctor, we could talk about exercise and images of exercise because there are a lot of people, some that might be listening to this show right now or will listen to it in the future, who understand the fact that they need more exercise or need not just more exercise, but need to even just start any type of exercise. Many people will acknowledge that, you know, yes, I need to exercise. Yes, I need more exercise. But when images of exercise come into their mind, then they're like, okay, well, you know, maybe I'll start tomorrow. Because when people think of exercise, I think the first thought that comes to mind is, you know, sweating. You know, you're doing sit-ups, you know, push-ups, you know.
Work.
This sort of thing. And for a lot of people, you know, especially if you take somebody that's obese that can't do that right now. You take somebody that can't even touch their toes right now or see their toes right now, and you say, hey, you need to, you know, start an exercise program. They're like, in their mind, they will acknowledge, you know, I know you're right, but they can't see themselves doing it. Could you talk about just the
first of all, you have to start seeing you. And I encourage my patients to start seeing themselves as being young again. When I first started into holistic medicine, one of the first things that I did when I set out on my own was to start a program for seniors. I wanted to work with old, poor, uneducated Black folks living in high-rise buildings. I thought they were the sickest group I could find, and if I could help them, I could help anyone. And so I wrote the Department of Housing in Washington, D.C. Mr. Clay was the head at that time, and I asked him for permission to go in to these senior buildings and work with these people, to start them on an exercise program, start educating them about diet and so forth. And I tell you, when I went in there, Those people thought I was crazy, you know. And so what I had to do was first, before I could get, because I thought, you know, they'd want to, here, you know, I did my research, and I found that Dr. DeVise, who was the head of the President's Council on Physical Fitness for Seniors at the time, said that we could regain 20 years of function, Lord have mercy, and 4 to 6 weeks of exercise. When I told them that, I just thought they would just be jumping out on the track, man.
Right.
They didn't, you know. And I devised it so that actually we wouldn't go on the track, that we would just walk in the halls. I didn't want to have any barriers that would prevent us. So all those buildings had halls. And so we would walk from one end of the hall to the other and touch the wall. But before I could get them to do that, I had to get into their heads, man. I had to let them know that they were important.
Right.
They were special. That we needed them. They had such wisdom. But if they were sick and always running back and forth to the doctor, they couldn't help anybody, including themselves. And so I got them excited, you know, about getting out and exercising. You know, my wife sort of taught me, you know, we hard-headed. I remember one time I was going to this community to do some stuff, and she said, well, What do they want? What do they need? I said, you know, this is what they need. She said, well, what do they want? I said,
right.
You know, they want this. She said, how do you know? You haven't asked them. And so just to shut her up, I did a survey. Man, I was totally wrong. So when I went in the senior building, I did a survey, you know, because I learned. You know, I'm hard-headed, but I do learn. And I did a survey, and they were interested not in the heart disease and diabetes and obesity that I was interested in. They were interested in arthritis. And so I learned how to go in and help them with arthritis, and I helped them show them if they would walk, if they would ride the stationary bicycle, and I'd have them pedaling backwards and forwards, until they could go all the way over, you know, that this would stretch and strengthen those ligaments, and they would be able to exercise. But I had to get them to start seeing themselves as being young again. You know, I remember one time this she was actually an attorney. She came to me, and I told her she needed to exercise an hour and a half, and she said, "I can't do it." I said, "Look in the mirror, and keep looking there until you see somebody worth changing for." So we have to start seeing ourselves as being valuable. You know, we have to start seeing ourselves as being fit again. You know, I was, you know, I like everybody else, you know, up and down with exercise because we say it's the schedule, you know. And so once I was back out on the track, and I was jogging around the track, and the light sort of hit me, you know, and I saw my shadow on the ground, and I was, you know, in that running position, you know, and you know, I thought about the days of yore, you know, those yesterdays,
right.
You know, and I started saying, I'm going to get myself back in shape, because I was always, you know, a fine-tuned athlete, you know. I'm going to get myself back, because I got an image, as you're saying, see, of myself being healthy. So instead of having an image of work, start having an image of how it's fun, the thing that you're going to be able to do that you can't do now. You can't bend over now, but inch by inch.
That's right.
Anything is a cinch. And Shula said that. He also said beginning is half done. Beginning is half done. So just getting started, you're not going to be able to do today what you can do in 3 weeks, 4 weeks. But getting started is critical.
You know, Doc, I see sometimes pictures, and I'm sure everybody has seen these images of people. You see these before and after shots of people, you know, the before picture, they might be 350, 400 pounds, and then you might see the after picture, and they might be down to, you know, 100 and some pounds, 190, you know, 200. They may have lost 200 pounds. And if you look at the expression, not just the body, But if you look at the expression on their face, the before picture, the expression might be a bit, you know, sad or whatever. They might even appear to be happy. But when you look at the after picture, you see them pride, see them beaming like, did it. And when you think of everything that they had to go through to get it, they had to really be disciplined to get up every day and to go to the track or to do the exercises or to get up every day to let go of the meat, the dairy, and the sugar and all of those things. Could you talk about discipline for a moment?
I'm going to approach it from a different perspective because, you see, people always use this discipline as an excuse. And I laugh at them. I said, you know, you're disciplined, but you're disciplined when it comes to other folk. You're not disciplined when it comes to yourself. You know, if I told you that you needed to do this, and if you did this, your child would live an extra 20 years, then you would go and do it, you know. If your boss wants you to do X, Y, Z, you'll be disciplined in getting that done. But what about doing it for yourself? The Bible says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. You know, that's a commandment. I won't get too heavy into that, but that's a commandment. If you break a commandment, that's a sin. But we'll be disciplined for other people. We won't be disciplined for ourselves. But once you understand the importance, I remember I was in my office one of these times. I never liked to, although I did a lot of walking in my day, I never saw walking and jogging as exercise to me. Basketball, you know, track, I mean, not track, basketball, tennis, you know, those kind of things was exercise to me. But because of time, you know, and you got to get people together and all this stuff, you know, I said, I got to exercise. Well, I was up in my office when I was in Silver Springs. I was about 5 o'clock in the morning. You know, one Saturday morning, I went before I went to church, and I was up there exercising. It was a big building. I was the only person in the building, and I had this gospel music blasting. I was on my treadmill, and I was just walking, and the thought hit me, sweat popping everywhere. The thought hit me, you work very hard for others. This you're doing for yourself. And that's what happens. That's the image that comes up in your head once you get out there, you know, and you start really understanding what you're doing. Because, see, people know that exercise is important, all right? You don't have to convince a person that exercise is important. You got to convince them that they need to get out there. Well, I don't even try to convince a person because a person convinced against their will is of the same opinion still. So I don't even try to convince them. I tell you, look, this is what you need to do, and this is why you need to do it, and you need to focus on the why. And if you focus on the why, the rest of it will fall in place, you know. So that's where we go, and it's exciting. They will get those positive images of themselves. I remember one time Oprah, my wife used to always listen to Oprah and tape all of her shows, and she taped this program. Oprah had these ladies on. And they were all ladies who had lost, you know, over 100 pounds, many of them 200 pounds. And they were telling their stories. And there were a number of black sisters on there who had both lost a couple hundred pounds. But the person that really got me more than anybody else was this white lady. Because she said that she started walking in the neighborhood. And the kids, you know, she was like 400 or 500 pounds, you know, really, really huge. And the kids would, maybe it's over 300. I know she was really big. And the kids would throw eggs and stuff at her and laugh. And so this lady went and walked in the graveyard for a year. All right. Walked in the graveyard for a year because she said she knew that nobody would bother her there. That thing got me. That thing got me, man. I said, that is determination. And we got to get so excited about ourselves that we'll do whatever, as my boy Les Brown says. When you've done the best you can, it's not sufficient. We must do what is necessary. You know? And that's what we must do. We must do what's necessary because we're important. God has a work for us to do, but we can't do the work because we're out of shape. We're in poor health. And we're talking about what needs to be done. get up off your Rudy Catoody and get something done. Mm-hmm. You know, set some goals. You know, ask God for some direction. Get excited about your life. You know, and then let's get out there and watch what happens. 4 to 6 weeks, you can gain 20 years of function. When I read that, I said, this guy's crazy. How can a person 60 function as if they were 40, or a person 70 as if they're 50? But I'm going to prove him right or prove him wrong. He was right.
Mm-hmm.
He was right. You know, I set it up sort of as a research project, you know, because God has blessed me to do research on several times in my little short career and up to that point. And so I got a baseline on each person that went into the program. And then in 30 days, we reevaluated them. It was amazing. In 30 days, it's like they were reading out the book, man. They lost weight.
Mm-hmm.
The blood pressures were, in many cases, down. The blood sugar were down. You know, their energy was up. You know, they look different. You know, they just look different. It was amazing. They were doing things now that they hadn't done in 20 years. They had literally regained 20 years of function in 4 weeks. Now, I didn't go 6 weeks. I went 4 weeks, 30 days.
Right.
Boom. Mm-hmm. That was it.
You know, Doctor, this information is very, very powerful, and the way you're outlining it is very, very compelling. You know, so we know what can happen if you decide that, you know, I love me enough. I love me enough to get out here and do it for me. Not for my kids, not for my mama, not for my boss, but for me. If I
exactly.
do this, this will happen. Now, let's talk about muscle atrophy for a moment. Let's talk about what will happen if you don't do this. If you don't decide
if you don't use
to love
it,
your...
mm-hmm. you lose it. That's all. I mean, that's it. I mean, you can be as healthy as you want. You lie up in bed for 3 days a week, your muscles will start atrophying. If you don't use it, you lose it.
Mm-hmm.
Plain and simple.
So for those who don't know, atrophy, you're not familiar with the term, basically atrophy is when you lose the, would you say the function, would that be the word, the function of your muscles?
The size of the muscle starts decreasing.
Okay.
That muscle starts, eventually will start turning into fat. It'll cease to be muscle. It will actually turn into fat.
Mm.
And you'll just waste away. You'll just be a big glob of blubber. You know, with a little muscle surrounded by a whole lot of fat. And that's what too many of us have.
And you know what's interesting, Doctor, is because you might see people today that you might have known 30, 40 years ago. And you might remember, not just they remember when they were smaller, but you remember when they were smaller. You know, you might look at somebody that's 300 pounds today, and you remember when they were 125, 135, you know, fit as a fiddle, you know what I mean? Or you might run into a brother who was an athlete back in the day, and then you see him today, and he might have trouble. What I mean?
Walking.
I mean, but it didn't happen overnight, you know.
It didn't. You know, it's interesting. My nickname growing up, or in high school and college, was Weenie Belt because I was so skinny, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But. During that time, in college at least, I invented the meatless Whopper, you know, because we would go to Burger King's and my friends would order Whoppers. And I would
mm-hmm.
order a Whopper without the meat. And they would laugh,
mm-hmm.
you know. Well, they ain't laughing now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I'm still skinny. I'm still weenie built. You know, I've gained a little
mm-hmm.
weight, but
right.
you know, I'm still skinny. And I learned, you know, and I didn't like being skinny at the time, you know. I wanted to be bigger like these other guys, you know. But I've learned subsequent that there's some advantages of being skinny from a health perspective, you
mm-hmm.
know. And especially if you're exercising, eating the right diet, and decreasing stress and not drugging and drinking and all that stuff, you know, carousing, you will be healthy. And long life is your reward.
Mm.
Longer life
mm.
is your reward.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so, plus you not only live longer, you're disease free. So you have the quantity of life, but you also have the quality of life. I hear so many people talking about, you know, I don't want to be on respirators and, you know, all this stuff. Well, if you take care of yourself, you can decrease. I don't say eliminate, because, you know, there are things that will happen that we have no control over. But mm-hmm. we can decrease significantly the chance of ever having to need those. My mother died at age 92, you know. She became a vegetarian because her son became a vegetarian at age 10. I refused to eat meat. I said, I'm not eating this stuff. And fortunately, my strong-willed mother did not push her strong-willed son and later mm-hmm. join him in becoming a vegetarian. And at 92, she died on no medication.
Wow. That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Who do we know that's 92 years old that's not on some sort of medication? Most notably, probably high blood pressure, maybe diabetes.
Yes.
Well,
yeah. Oh yeah. You know,
wow.
She had no hypertension. She had no diabetes. She had nothing. She developed a little senility, and I think she actually developed a little depression. Matter of fact,
mm-hmm.
I know she did. You know. And partly it was my fault, because I did not understand the stress that my mother went through raising three boys by herself. You know?
Yeah.
So I missed it. I missed it for many, many, many years. But I'm telling you, she could dress. I'm telling you, man, in her 80s and 90s, that woman could still throw down, brother. You know,
I know she had,
and like looking
wearing
good.
Them hats.
Yeah,
she
man.
Wearing those hats.
Well, she wearing them hats, them dresses, man. I mean, and you know, I remember I was in college, my senior year, matter of fact. The dean of students, who was a very sophisticated brother, sat at my table one day in the cafeteria, and he said, "Watkins, tell me, your father. Tell me about your dad. Is he a physician?" I laughed. I said, "Well, you know, why you ask?" He said, "The way you dress, the way you carry yourself."
Mm-hmm.
I said, "Well, I never knew my daddy. He left us when I was very
mm-hmm.
young." I said, I said, for my first years, we were on welfare. I said, but my mama taught me to dress. She taught me how to shop, you know, and how to put it together. So you know, I owe so much to that lady. But she was on no medication because she took care of herself. She followed the diets. She did the things that we needed to do. And if we do them,
you know, Doc,
we can
yes,
we
sir.
Can not only prevent disease, we can reverse disease.
Mm.
And that's
mm-hmm.
what our audience need to know. We can not only prevent, it's always best, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure, but we can
mm-hmm.
actually reverse if we're willing to change.
That you said the word, my brother. If we're willing to change. You know, some people are spectators when it comes to life, as opposed to jumping in there and enjoying life themselves. You know, we love testimonies. I know I do. I love a good testimony. You know, when I hear, you know, that somebody got cured of this, or, you know, I mean, I love to hear the before and after stories, you know. But then there are those that don't realize that these before and after stories, they're coming to your ears for a reason. You know, if you know that you're, say, overweight and you need to start exercising, you know, and you hear a testimony about how somebody else did it, you know, that came to you, that was sent to you, You know, it didn't just fall on your ears, you know, by accident. That's so that you can be inspired and motivated to get up, you know, get off the couch and, you know, go out there and start, you know, putting together your own regimen. But, Doc, for a lot of people, it's where do I start? You know, what type of exercise do I do? I know I need to exercise, you know. Should I get on the bike, you know, the stationary bike? Should I do that? What about yoga? Should I do yoga?
Well, I tell people, you know, they need to come to a crazy doctor like me, you know, and not just me, but someone like me. Because,
mm-hmm.
you know, if you're out of shape and so forth, you need to be evaluated. You know, he who has himself for a doctor has a fool for a doctor. So you need to have somebody, hopefully, who knows what they're doing, who's gotten results. You know, I laugh. I tell people I have trophies on my wall. You know, people who've come to me when I left surgery, went into alternative medicine. Most of the people that came to me were stage 4 cancer, stage 4 heart disease, stage 4 this, stage 4 that, the worst of the worst. And God taught me how to get these people well. And so, you know, and there are others. You know, I'm not the only one. There are other people out there. Unfortunately, I'm one of the few black physicians that are doing what I do. One of the few black physicians in the country, not just
mm-hmm.
in this area, in the country, that do what I do. Because medicine has such a allure. Few people are willing to leave the ivory towers and do the things that we do. But be that as it may, there are people out there, and if they can direct you as to what to do. And what I do is I develop what I call an exercise prescription for the person. An exercise prescription where it outlines, based on their condition, what they need to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it includes diet, it includes exercise, it includes stress reduction, it includes herbs and different things, you know. We put together a team of people who work with them. I started a health and fitness club because my wife would get on my case. She'd tell me, you put people on your fasting program, what are they going to do after the fast, you know.
Right.
And so finally, I said, I need to go ahead and do this thing. And I put together a health and fitness club that monitors, that motivates, that educates people, directs them as to what they need to do to be healthy, you know.
Mm.
And I believe we need somebody following us, whether it's a physician, whether it's a friend, but somebody needs to be some of us are motivated enough and regimented enough to do it, but most of us need somebody to encourage us,
mm-hmm.
to get on our cases when we need to get us going in the right direction and keep us going.
You know, Doc, there are a lot of people that are listening to this show. In addition to the people that clearly need, quote, end quote, to exercise, because you can, you know, it becomes
everybody
their
needs
condition.
To exercise.
Yeah, but their condition might seem obvious. But then you might take somebody who does not appear as though they need to exercise. Therefore, they don't. When they look in the mirror, they don't see excess weight. You know, they look in the mirror and they see, okay, I'm the right weight for my height. You know what I mean? I don't go walking, I don't jog, I don't swim, I don't do any of that, I don't play tennis, and I'm good, you know. So when it comes to that, how do you convince the people that it doesn't appear as though they need to exercise, that they do need to exercise?
Well, once again, I've come to the point, and maybe I'm just arrogant, but I don't try to convince anybody. He who is convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. You know, I will give them the information that if people who exercise, and people who exercise an hour and a half to 2 hours a day live longer than anybody else, according to the
mm-hmm.
statistics, according to researchers. So, you know, I'll tell them that. I like I said, the person who smokes and exercises will outlive the person who doesn't smoke and doesn't exercise. So, I mean, the data is out there. We can reject it if we want, you know. But, you know, we know that we need to exercise. We know that, if you don't do any exercise, you're gonna one day come and you can't run up them steps. You can't run across the street, you know. Mm-hmm. You can't bend down and tie up your shoes, you know. I know people who can't, who have to have other people to tie their shoes up, man. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Help them put their clothes on, you know. Whereas I've seen people, I remember one of the buildings that I worked with in D.C., this lady had not walked in 8 years, Jawaza.
Wow.
8 years.
Wow.
But I evaluated her, and I realized that there was nothing physical that kept her from walking. She was being kept back by psychological. Her sister was very dominating, and you know. And so I befriended this lady, and I got her to stand up and sit down. Stand up and sit down. Then I got her to get behind her wheelchair and push it. Matter of fact, Channel 7 or 9 did a special on me entitled Up Out of Chairs some years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And had this lady pushing that wheelchair, man. you know, after 8 years, a woman was able to walk, you know. So it is amazing what one can do if one is motivated to do it, you know. And sometimes motivation can come from outside. And so I will help to motivate a person. And generally I'll do that by focusing in on what is it they really want to do that they're not able to do now,
mm-hmm.
you know, that kind of thing. And you know, if I can get them to focus in on that and be honest with themselves, then I can get them to generally to get out there, at least get started, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're willing to
I'm sorry, Doc. Go ahead. I didn't mean to
go
cut
ahead.
You
no.
off there.
If you're willing to be monitored, then we can keep it going. Go ahead.
I was going to ask you if we could talk for a moment just about exercise and the brain. Because a lot of times when people think of exercise, you know, they think again back the images of sit-ups and push-ups and pull-ups and that sort of thing, jogging and that sort of stuff. But exercise is for the brain, you know, because they say the brain is a muscle that needs to be exercised. And if you don't exercise your brain, then, you know, the effects of not exercising your brain can be as damaging as the effects of not exercising your body.
Well, you know, and Alzheimer's is one of the major killers in this country, it is said that one of the reasons that people develop this premature dementia is because they stop using their minds. They stop, you know, calculating. We have these computers now. We have these calculators, you know. We don't have to. You know, I remember when I was in chemistry, they wouldn't let us use calculators. We had to use slide rules. We had to learn how to think, you know, and figure
mm-hmm.
things out. We don't do those things now. And so if we exercise the brain, if we work crossword puzzles, you know, I'm not a crossword puzzle man, but there are other things that you can do, problem solving, kinds of things where you need to use your brain. And when you do it, you know, memorize lists of things. You know, when I was in medical school, I went to my advisor. We called her Mama Lloyd. I said, Mama Lloyd, you know, I know I'm not dumb, but I'm about to flunk. You know, I mean, she said, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was a little older than most of the medical students, but they liked me because they saw that I was serious and I was a hard worker. And she said, you know, I've been looking. What's the problem? I just can't seem to memorize all of these things. There's so too many things. She said, go see this doctor. And she sent me to this little short doctor who I had seen around, but I didn't know. But she was an educational specialist. And she showed me how to memorize, you know, how to memorize, how to use my mind to you know. She said, take a list of things that you want to memorize. You know, break them down, no more than five at a time. And then close the book or close your notebook or whatever and write them from memory. And then page where you wrote and go back to the book and correct yourself. And then go back and forth. You know, I'm telling you, by doing that, I went from barely making satisfactory to making honest in almost everything. Because I learned how to memorize. We must learn to memorize things, you know? And that will exercise the brain. We have to learn how to figure out problems, you know?
Yeah.
We don't try to figure out something. We call somebody and ask them, you know? My wife, she often will call me and ask me to fix such and such. I don't read the directions. I figure it out, you know? And then if I can't do it, then I go read directions. Now, maybe that's stupid, but that's what I do. And God has taught me how to think logically and analytically to be able to do that in many instances, not in all, of course.
I can appreciate what you just shared concerning the brain because, see, the brain controls everything, you know. So if we lose our minds, then this whole discussion about exercise is mute. You know, it's a moot point, you know what I mean? So we definitely want to incorporate exercises that are going to enhance our brain as we, you know, on our muscles and limbs as well. Doc, I got one more question, my brother. I don't want to carry you over. I appreciate you taking the time to speak with me today, and that's concerning cardiovascular exercises because, again, a lot of people, when they're looking to exercise, they want to see, you know, they want to go, they go stand in the mirror, you know what I mean, and they, you know, lift their shirt up and they, you know, doing the bicep pose and, you know, all of that, turn around, look at the back, see how the back muscles are coming, but you can't see your heart when you look in the mirror. You know, you're looking in the mirror, you can't see your internal organs. So could you talk about the, you know, cardiovascular exercises and the benefit that they may have on the heart?
Well, of course we know that heart disease is the number one killer in this country. The number one disease that people die of. I believe the number one killer is stress, but the number one disease that people die of is heart disease. And what I found is that, you know, what we know, heart is a muscle. Mm-hmm. And that muscle, if it's exercised properly, it can become strengthened. You know, I would get people with congestive heart failure, fluid all over the place, low what we call ejection fraction, meaning the heart is very weak. There's a low ejection fraction. The amount of blood that comes in, very little of it is put out. You know, your ejection fraction should at least be 50%, meaning of all the blood that comes into the heart, the left ventricle, it should push out with one beat at least 50% or more of that blood. When it's less than 50%, then you're moving toward what we call congestive heart failure. We have found that by having people walk, and I have them walk up to an hour and a half a day. Now, of course, they don't start out there, but they start building up. Their heart gets stronger, all right? Beginning is half done. So we get them started, and I have a particular method that I teach them, but it strengthens the heart. Also, when you exercise like that, it helps to remove the plaque. The clots that's the plaque, let's say, the buildup, the hardening of the arteries, it helps to reverse that process so that you can get more blood flowing through the heart and you don't, you decrease the risk of having a heart attack or, you know, that type of thing. So exercise is good for that. What we need to do, we need to come back because one of the things that I wanted to talk about, but we didn't get a chance to talk about it, is the kinds of exercises that we need to do. The kind
well, how are
of
you
exercises.
On time?
Hmm?
Are you good for time? Are you good for time? I mean, we can
not,
talk
not,
about it
not,
if, you, if you're good for time. I'm good.
I actually can't
or you
want to
do another
today.
Show?
Yeah,
to
we
part
have to
two?
Do another show.
Okay.
Unfortunately, I have to go to a funeral.
Okay.
And the rest of the day is sort of spent. But I would love to come back and deal with this. You know, I don't know. I have to look at the schedule for even next week. But you know, in the next couple of weeks or so, we can come back and we can talk about this next phase of it. What kinds of exercises do we need to do? And I want to introduce something called Sprint 8 to the audience. I'll just say the name now, but we'll talk about it more in depth later. But we have to start looking at exercise differently than we've looked at it in the past. And if we do, we will be able to significantly improve our well-being in a relatively short period of time.
What was the term, Doc? Sprint what?
Sprint 8.
8. The number 8?
The number 8. And we'll
okay.
we'll explain it all when we come back.
Okay. 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 Well, everybody, I want to make sure that you continue to tune in to Health, Wealth, and Divine, also known as Juwanz for Life. My name is Juwanz, and I'll give you more information concerning when Doc is going to be back on, and we can continue this awesome discussion about exercise. Again, exercise is something that, again, those of us who are on a holistic health path, you know, it's a huge thing to change your diet to a live it, as I say. You know, it's a huge thing to let go of the meat, the dairy, the sugar, and all of that. But there's another level. I mean, to add to it, we're talking about holistic health, your whole lifestyle, from what you eat to exercise to, you know, who you surround yourself with, your spiritual life. I mean, all of it is important. And so, you know, I'm just thankful that we have somebody like Dr. Watkins, who's a regular, who's willing to come on and share his expertise with us. He also is not just a regular on my show. He has his own show on WPFW. Doc, can you tell people about your show and when it comes on and how they can tune in to you? If this dosage of Dr. Watkins wasn't enough and you want to get another dosage tomorrow, Doc, how can they tune into your show tomorrow?
Yeah, I'm on Mondays at 2 p.m., 89.3 FM, WPFW. The show is entitled To Your Health. And we, it's also an hour show, and we discuss many fine topics on that show that will help individuals to extend their life. When I went back on this time, I told them that I'm coming on not just to give information, but to change lives. And so that's the thing that we want to do. Change your life so that you can really extend. We don't want to just give the information. We want to see you be able to utilize that information. And so that's what we do, my brother.
Well, Doc, I just want to thank you so much, my brother, again, for all of the work that you've done, for all of the lives that you've touched, for all of the lives that you've changed, for all of the lives that you've saved, you know, and to all of the listeners who are hearing Dr. Watkins today, just understand this, that there is no downside whatsoever to doing following any of his recommendations. You know, whenever making a decision, always ask yourself, what's the downside if I follow this course of action? There's no downside to exercising unless you just you know, don't know how to do it and you hurt yourself, whatever. We'll be talking about that too. But if you follow the recommendations, excuse me, put forth here today, there's no downside. You won't not look back or will not look back and say, I'm sorry that I started to exercise. But you could look back and say, I wish I had listened and started to exercise, an exercise program, when I heard that show with Dr. Watkins. So Dr. Watkins, again, is a regular on Health, Wealth, and Divine, also known as Juwanz for Life. He also has his show on WPFW 89.3, okay, To Your Health, which comes on from 2 to 3 p.m. every Monday. So you want to make sure that you tune in for that. Doc, any parting words? I know you got to run. Any parting words for our listeners today?
just get excited. Look in the mirror, and recognize that you're not a mistake. That God made you, created you for a purpose, and it's not too late. If you're willing to change, He is willing to forgive and to forget. He's willing to restore the years that the locust has taken away. But we have to be willing to do our part, and God will do. I just want to once again commend you on the fine work that you're doing and educating the community, and I look forward to be able to get back with you to help you in this process.
Well, Doc, I thank you, brother. When I see people like you out there doing the work that you do, I have to do what I do. You know, I have to help you do what you do. I have to help make the community. I have to make the community aware of the positive, because when you turn on the television and the radio sometimes, you know, there's always something negative going on. You know, there's always something, you know, if this isn't happening, that isn't. There's always some sort of social unrest and, you know, all that stuff makes the news. But people that are doing the work like you're doing, I mean, saving lives, curing people of diseases, you know, and all that stuff doesn't make the news. So I want to help it to make the news. So for everybody that's listening, if you're tuning in and you're enjoying this information, help us to help this make the news. And you can do that by sharing the link with somebody that you know needs to hear this information. Again, Doc, I want to thank you, my brother. I got to let you run. As much as I wish I could keep you for another hour.
I know you wanted me to give my phone number. I forgot to do that. My office number is area code 202-388-0992. That's 202-388-0992, and my website is twiliving.com. TWI, that stands for the Watkins Institute, twiliving.com, and you can reach us in those two places. God bless you, my brother.
God bless you, my brother. Again, may God continue to open the doors for you, and you know, I can't wait for our next show, but I look forward to it. Everybody, that is Dr. Ted Watkins, founder and director of the Watkins Institute. He's a regular on Health, Wealth, and Divine, also known as Jawanza for Life. My name is Jawanza. I thank you so much for your time. What a way to start a Sunday morning. I must ask a rhetorical question because I know the answer, but wasn't that refreshing? I mean, wasn't that like a cool drink of water? I mean, that was like a cool breeze blowing across your face, wasn't it? That was refreshing. I mean, what a way to start your day, talking about holistic health, talking about living, talking about life. Because as soon as you turn on that television, there's no telling what you're going to see when the news comes on. There's no telling what you're going to see. So I want to thank you so much for taking the time to tune in, excuse me, to the callers that are listening online. I can see you. I see you up there on the board. Thank you so much for taking the time to call in. You called in on purpose. You know, you weren't ordered to call in. Somehow this information came across your ears, and you're here with us. I thank you for your presence. I really appreciate it. Again, follow. You can follow Health, Wealth, and Divine, and it will alert you when all of the different shows that we're doing, and to all of the new listeners, all of the new people that are following, the numbers are growing. I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you. Spread the word, because if you like this information, chances are there's somebody that you know that needs this information. The name of the show is Health. We talk about that, obviously. Wealth, we've got shows on entrepreneurship with Professor Geiger, and Divine, we've got shows on your divinity. All you got to do is just scroll down. You'll see them. Now, until the next time, I want everybody, enjoy this day, okay? Remember, your nature is peace. You were made in the likeness of a peace that nothing can disturb. You started your day off right, you tuned in. Now, carry this energy that you're feeling right now through the rest of the day, okay? So, until the next time, my name is Jawanza. I appreciate you, and I love you too. Peace.